I bet most of you have had a season of feeling a little bit like Moses, that you can part the Red Sea with a single cough or a hiccup. It's like whenever you go anywhere, in anywhere, and I just took off my mask, but I also have allergies, and every once in a while I'll go, and everybody just parts, and you can get to the front of the line really quickly. But I want to say, just like Derek said, there is something that happened this morning, hey? I have missed being together. And so if you're watching, I encourage you to sign up and get into one of our live services as they approach, because there's something that happens when we come together and we begin to worship the Lord. And that's really what I want to talk to you about today. In this series of Where Do We Go From Here, I want to talk about the correlation between community and vision. You see, this being the first Sunday back with real people, and albeit there's only about 50 of you in this large auditorium, one thing that I have been hearing, and I'm sure you've been hearing over and over again ever since the March 13th shutdown, is we're all in this together. Which seems somewhat ironic, because in many ways, we've never been more alone. And yes, there are some great things that have come out of this season of quarantine. But there also has been some incredible loneliness. And even our mental health has begun to struggle a bit as we have been isolated. And in our little isolated pockets, we sometimes can struggle to find purpose and to continue to live out our call. What does that look like in these days? And what will it look like in the days to come? I know that sense of community is so incredibly important to me. And when everything shut down, I'm like, oh God, what now? What now? I'm stuck in the house with these five people for the next how long? But I love them. So what I did was I made up a flyer and I went door to door to every house around our block and dropped something in their mailbox saying, come on, if we're all in this together, let's spend this season getting to know one another. I've established a Facebook group. I will pray for you. I'll bring you groceries. I'll do whatever. And all of a sudden, in the midst of our little neighborhood, people began to meet each other in new ways, giving each other permission to absolutely troll through all of our pictures, troll through all of my posts, get to know who I am. And now, when I walk down the street, I know the name of their dog. When I drive, we wave. Something has happened. And so in the midst of this, and in the midst of what we seemingly are pulling back, what we need to do is press in. Say, God, my call is just as relevant today as it was 6 months ago. I was once told we will have ministry to the same extent that we have relationship. And if this is true, which I believe it is, then no matter what comes at us, I believe it's God's intent for us not to become isolated. It is incumbent upon us to contend for community. We may have to reshape our approach to things, to find new ways to connect. But as we explore this series of where do we go from here, I think we need to realize that correlation between having vision and having community. If we're all in this together, then how does it play out? I believe vision and community are very, very, very tightly attached to each other. For us to live out the fullness of God's purpose, we cannot do it alone. And yet the temptation, almost since the beginning of time, has always been to pull back from community, to do it on our own. And when we're living in this season where fear has some roots, That also causes us to want to pull back, to withdraw. You see, sometimes we sit in the midst of a body of believers and we think, I'm not really being recognized here, so I'll just carve out my own path. They don't realize how gifted I am, so I'll just do it on my own. But if I just advertise myself, if I just develop a campaign, perhaps then people will realize. But you know what God's word says? God's word exhorts us to plant ourselves within a body, to be Christ extended to be in the body, to know those that labor amongst you. Our giftings are realized and we are released within a body. You see, church, our giftings, our purpose, the linking of our vision gets played out in the midst of the body. In a place of community, in true community, there is interdependence. Whether we're in the animal kingdom or the kingdom of God, we know that isolation kills. Isolation exposes. Isolation allows fortresses to be established. And sometimes we think they're protecting us, but the truth is, fortresses can be safe havens for destructive thoughts and destructive behaviors. If we can get pulled away, we're more likely to die. Yes, we may think it's self-preservation to pull away from community. And oftentimes it's because in community we get hurt. In community, we can get hurt. But you know what? As much as, yes, all our hurts can come from community, our healing comes from this place also. Our healing comes from a place of relating one to another. Our growth comes from a place of relating one to another. When we look at vision, I don't think we can do so without speaking about the importance of community and the role of walking out our vision within that community. Our vision, our purpose are meant to be connected to one another. We are the body of Christ. And I believe there is a declaration, and there has been a declaration over this, spoken over this church, over us as a group of believers. It is something that God really wants us to get a hold of. And that is just a very simple message of, I need you, and you need me. We need each other to become everything we're meant to be. God's word declares that whenever two or more are gathered in his midst, or in his name, he is there. It shall be done. That if one of us can put 1,000 to flight, two of us can send the legions fleeing. There is power. There is authority. When we come together and link our vision with his vision. Hebrews 10:25 says, don't stop gathering together. Don't forsake gathering together. Why? To spur each other on to love and good deeds. To spur each other on to love and good deeds. To being Christ extended to this world. Here it comes, people, the cough. I'm far enough away from the front row. People, just as there's an individual call on our lives, there's a collective call on our lives. Something miraculous begins to happen when we get vision for our own lives. And then when we connect that with a corporate or a collective vision. That is the purpose Christ has for his body, his church. I really began to think out the call of God on my life probably 30 years ago now. And how the vision and the purpose for my life was connected to something much bigger. Dean and I, as I've told you, we spent the better part of a decade living in Hong Kong. And I remember God beginning to stir our hearts to return to Saskatchewan. We spent almost all the 1990s living in Hong Kong and working extensively throughout Southeast Asia. And shortly after we had taken a weekend trip to the Great Wall of China, God began to stir us up. And perhaps it was a physical, tangible realization that occurred as we walked upon the Great Wall. And if you haven't seen the Great Wall of China, put it on your bucket list. It is an awe experience. The Great Wall of China is said to be the largest wall ever built in the history of the world. It took 1,800 years to build it. They started building the Great Wall in 220 BC. And they finished it sometime into the 1700s. But they worked on it over a time span of almost 2,000 years. When it was completed, it was 6,000 miles long. And at one point, they estimate that over 1 million people were working on the wall day and night. The wall not only kept the enemies of China from attacking, but it served and it continues to serve as a reminder of what people can accomplish when they work together. And after visiting this wonder of the world, God began to remind me of Nehemiah. And one day I sat listening to a message about Nehemiah and the wall that he returned to build. And before I knew it, tears were just pouring down my face. And I wept, and I wept, and I wept, and I knew God was asking Dean and I to come home and to rebuild the walls of our city, to rebuild the walls of our province and of our nation. And I believe one of the strongest and the most poignant examples in Scripture of what can happen when people work together is found in the book of Nehemiah. A building project of restoring a wall that began in 445 BC, not long before the Chinese began building their wall. Nehemiah was a Jewish man who lived in Persia. He was the cupbearer to the king. Basically, that meant he was the head of security. And one day, Nehemiah's life was changed forever. In Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, he's talking to his brother and he asks, "How are the Jews doing in the Holy Land? How's Jerusalem?" And his brother says, "Things are not good. The wall is broken down, and the gates have been burned with fire." And Nehemiah sits down and cries, and he prays. And God puts something in his heart to help the people. This is vision. I think this is where we see the correlation between vision and community and the importance of community. God puts something in each of our hearts to help the people, to be the body of Christ. In verse 11, when Nehemiah arrives in Jerusalem, he examines those broken down walls and realizes that things are worse than he initially thought. And come on, people, I think if we sit down and really examine where things are at in our world, we'll realize they might even be worse than what we think. But oh, our God, the maker of the universe, connects our hearts, our vision to his purpose. You see, back then, a wall not only provided protection to the people, but it was a symbol of strength, a symbol of dignity. It signified that people took pride in their city and took pride in their work. And so in Nehemiah 2:17, Nehemiah rallies the people by his side and says, something I believe that God would have reverberate in each one of our hearts today. And I think we need to let the impact of this portion of scripture be massaged into our souls. The connection of vision, what we can see, and how it connects us to community. Nehemiah says, you see the trouble we're in? You see how this city lies in ruins? Let's do something about it. Let's rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. Let's not be afraid, because the gracious hand of God is upon me, and we have the king's full support. We see a need. Every one of us in our own lives, we go about our business, we see a need. God says, come on, respond. Respond to the need with the confidence that we have the king's full support. That is a powerful revelation. The response of the people was, yeah, let's begin the good work. Let's rebuild the wall. In chapter 3, the work begins. Nehemiah has people from every walk of life pitching in. It reminds me of a plaque that was said to have sat on the desk of President Ronald Reagan. And it said, you may be too big for the Lord to use, but you can never be too small. Doesn't matter where you're at, what your background is, how insignificant you might feel. You can never be too small for the Lord to use. We're all in this together. In verse 2, he gets the men of Jericho to help. If I was building a wall, I'd go for the strongest first. I'd say, come on, let's get going. But in verse 8, he gets the city goldsmith to leave his shop and come out and help with repairs. Most people, if you're heading out to do something, you wouldn't be saying, hey, maybe the goldsmith could help build the wall. But we're all needed. No matter what we're bringing, we bring something of value when we link it with the purposes of God. In verse 12, we see one guy gets his daughters, come on, let's go build the wall. People, when God begins to move, when God begins to speak, everyone has a role. Everyone is needed. Just like in 1 Corinthians 14 to 26. What shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you, every one of you, has a hymn, a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so the church may be built up. When we see our vision attached to a collective vision, the correlation, the purpose is that we get built up when we are Christ extended individually and corporately. What I find interesting in this portion of scripture in 1 Corinthians, it immediately follows a dissertation about spiritual gifts. Basically, it tells us we all have a purpose, we're all gifted, we all have a role to play, we all can get personal vision for our lives. And it says, and now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Think about it. Think about your life. Think about where you fit in, what part you play. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its parts, many, form one body. So it is with Christ. Now, if the foot should say, I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And the ear should say, I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If we were all part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem weaker or indispensable, and the parts that we think less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. Now you're the body of Christ. Each one of you is part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, guidance, different tongues, gifts of help. You see, church, we've been gifted. We have been purposed, we have been called individually and collectively to rebuild the walls of our city, our province, our nation, to build the walls, to build the safe places for each one of us, to support each other. When God is on the move and when God is moving, we all need to work together. In verse 22, we see even the priests are working on a section of the wall. And in Nehemiah chapter 3, we have a beautiful picture of what can be accomplished when people of faith come together. Men, women, old, young, children. The church that God intends is not supposed to be a place where the minority do the majority of the work, but rather the church of Jesus Christ is a place where we are called to build the wall. Our vision is absolutely tied to each other. We are to operate from a place of common unity. Common unity. Community. We are not naive. Opposition comes against us. If we look at the first three verses of Nehemiah chapter 4, when Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He was the governor of the Samaritan people, and he saw a rebuilt Jerusalem as a threat against his authority. He didn't want to see a revival of the Jewish capital. And so in the presence of the army of Samaria, Sanballat engages and a little bit of ancient trash talk. What are these feeble Jews doing? This building project will never work. They're a bunch of amateurs. They're using burned out stones. Come on, people, we hear those same voices today. Tobiah the Ammonite chimes in and says, this is a piece of junk. If a fox climbed up on the wall, the walls would probably come tumbling down. I wish I could say that when we start living for the Lord, when we start walking into our call, you'll never be criticized. You would never be ridiculed. And everyone would always agree with you. But that wouldn't exactly be true, because in John 16:33 it says, in this world you will have trouble. And when we get vision, when we see the needs in our community, and when we begin to respond, there will be voices. There will be an enemy taunting. You're not good enough. You're not spiritual enough. Someone else is better. You're only a perfume maker. There is an enemy of your soul who will try to do everything he can to get you discouraged. But that's the great thing about community. In the face of discouragement, we give each other courage. We encourage. Watch how Nehemiah responds to the enemy's voice. He doesn't get discouraged. He doesn't get defensive. He doesn't get defiant. In Nehemiah 4:6, then in spite of the opposition that the people were facing, they kept on working with all of their hearts. They didn't allow the discouraging voices to keep them from doing what God wanted to do. And before long, the wall was halfway done. One of my favorite scriptures is in Hebrews when it talks about the great cloud of witnesses cheering us on. That picture, that image gives me strength. I think of all of the mighty men and women who have gone before. I think of my grandparents. I think of my father. They're up there. They're cheering me on. Come on, Catherine. Don't you quit. You stand. You keep on going. You are winning. And perhaps even more than that, when we move from here in community, living out our call collectively, we can cheer each other on. We can support each other. We can mourn with each other. We can celebrate with each other. We can recognize each other's giftings and call them out. I remember as clearly as I can see sports day in Wolseley in about 1975. That's where I grew up. And I was a sprinter. I loved the 100 meters. And I can just see this image as clearly as anything. I've got the finish line right there. I'm going for the 100 meters. And I was a fast little thing out of the blocks. And my mom would stand down about the 70-meter mark or 70-yard mark in those days. And she, I could see her. And she would be, come on, keep going, run faster, faster, faster. And there was something that just wouldn't let me quit. As I heard my mom's voice and as I got towards her, I would run faster and faster and I'd break that line. You see, hearing each other, living in community, gives us strength and it positions us to support one another. Now, as many of you know, I have a younger brother, Peter. He is 12 years younger than me, and he has Down syndrome. And even though athletically, he didn't come with as many assets as I had, when he ran in a race, everyone knew Peter wasn't going to be recognized because of his speed. But oh, he had the largest crowd cheering him on. He was never at the front of the pack. In fact, my mom took a picture one time of him running, and he was probably the end of the pack, but there were two people behind him, so she snapped that picture. He still thinks he won that race. You see, he might not have been, he was probably the weakest runner, but he had a great crowd of witnesses cheering him on. When we live in community, when we link our vision and our purpose collectively and we're cheering each other on, there is a strength that begins to be established within us. You see, we have a common purpose. I also saw this played out one day. You know Larry and Susan Thomason that come to our church. They have two sons and two daughters, and their one son, Matt, is 6'8". You can't miss him when he walks in a place. And their eldest daughter, Erica, she was signed up to run cross country in the city cross country race. And I think most parents tell their kids, you're going to run at least one race. Just run cross country. And it's horrible. They're like coming in. They're as they're coming in that last lap. And as I was standing, and I always stand, I take my mom's lead. I stand about the 100 meter mark, last 100 meters. And I just cheer for every kid that's running. They're usually walking by that point. I'm like, come on, give it. And inevitably, they pick it up. But this day, Erica's running, and you can't see what's happening in the backfields where they're just boomed with tiredness. But we see Erica enter the track, and we start cheering, come on, Erica! And then I see her brother, Matt, 6'8". He runs across the field to the other side of the track, and it makes me cry even thinking about it. And he begins to run on the inside of the field, step by step with her. And as he gets closer to me, I can hear him, Erica, you've got more gas. Erica, you can do it. Erica, don't you stop. Erica, you get to that finish line. Come on, church, that's what we do for each other. That is community. That's what happens when we link our vision to a larger vision. You see, I think Tower of Babel, great example. When that was all done and said, this is what happens when they work together. Nothing is impossible if they work together. You see, when we work in community, when we take what God is speaking to us individually and bring it in as part of a much bigger picture, it brings protection. Rather than becoming discouraged and dismayed, we see in Nehemiah that when people work this way, it was instead the enemy who ends up getting discouraged and dismayed. When God's people work together, we can accomplish great things. We can solve huge problems. We can overcome fearsome opposition. When we live in a sense of community, together we build altars of remembrance. This is the God who brought you through tough financial times. This is the God who brought you through sickness and brokenness. Or as Corinthians says, that we are comforted in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. When we recognize the correlation between vision and community, when we stand cheering each other on, recognizing when our problems seem great and overwhelming, that we serve a great and we serve an awesome God. Psalm 145, verse 3 says, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom." God is bigger than the challenges you're facing in your life. God is bigger than your critics. God is bigger than your enemies. God is bigger than your obstacles. And when we get to the place in our lives and we link our lives and we place them in the hands of the Almighty God, how awesome is that? Church, let's stand together and pray. Father, we stand against isolation and discouragement that attempts to creep in. We stand collectively as community, shoulder to shoulder. Father, teach us, show us, position us to truly be community, to link ourselves, our passion, our purpose that you have placed in our hearts to a place of common unity. Your word exhorts us. Oh, how good, how precious it is for brothers to dwell in unity. And we know that from that place of common unity, community, there is a commanded blessing. Lord, we want to be Christ extended, to function as one body, each one doing its part. We speak against the voice of comparison. I'm not a hand and I'm not needed. Lord, we have us recognize with greater authority how you have placed us. And as we are here together, let's pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. God bless you.